merciful, matchless, and miraculous Savior. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, when I say worship, Lord, I mean we set our soul's attention and our heart's affections on you, praising you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak to your people, and I pray that they would hear me as they hear your word, and your word would cut like a double-edged sword. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't want that Bible. That was the thinking of Christopher Yuan, who had a horrible relationship with his parents, mainly because they was born-again Christians. So Christopher was in dental school, and his parents, they wanted to come over. So he was like, come through. But after 2 days of Jesus, Christopher was fed up. And he did what you would never expect a child to do to his parents. He told him, look, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. So sadly, his parents packed their belongings. On their way to the door, Christopher's father opened up his gym bag, pulled out a copy of God's holy precious word, and sat it on the table. The moment that they stepped out of the door, Christopher runs over to the table, grabs the Bible, and tosses it into a filthy trash can. But he had one of them praying mothers, like some of y'all out here, them James 5:16, effectual, fervent, praying, righteous mothers, that said, Lord, whatever you need to do, please save my son's life. Yeah, he's in dental school, but what I didn't tell you is he lives a double life. Because behind the scenes, Christopher was a big-time dope dealer. And when I say big-time, I mean he was responsible for the distribution of drugs within 12 different states. So this particular day, after he had received a large distribution of drugs, he got a knock on his door. So as he opens it, to his surprise, 12 DEA members, 2 German shepherds, ready to search and confiscate all of his belongings. Yeah. So, of course, he was arrested, but he was charged with intent to distribute 9.1 tons of marijuana. Family, I ain't that smart. I was a C average student, so I called on my brother Google. I found out that's 18,000 pounds of weed. So, he goes to prison. So one particular day, he's walking through his cell block in prison. Rolls up on the trash can. The trash can immediately reminds him of his life. Waste, filth, garbage. So he turns to go back to his cell, but something arrested his attention. To his surprise, it was a copy of God's holy word, a Gideon Bible. So he snatches the Bible off of the top of the trash heap, runs back to his cell block, reads all 16 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. Immediately, the Holy Spirit regenerates him. He asks Jesus Christ to become his Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, that's right, praise God. Over time, as he's reading the word, he feels like, man, I think the Lord's really calling me to ministry. So while he is in prison, he applies to Moody Bible Institute. Family, let me tell you the goodness of God. Not only does he get accepted, but when he's released from prison, he attends, graduates, and is given the opportunity to teach. No different than Joseph in the scripture, which I know all y'all know, who went from the pit to the prison to the palace. Christopher went from being a prideful drug dealer to a prison inmate to a professor in seminary. Only the omnipotent God could do a work like that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever seen 87 million anything? Nobody? Okay, it's all good. In the Army, I was in logistics, praise God, 21 years. In 8 months, I retired, 2017, praise God, 13 surgeries, PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, memory loss, all that stuff, but I'm here by the grace of God, amen. Well, by God's sovereign grace, Gideon International was able to distribute 87 million scriptures in 195 countries in 109 languages in 1 year. Bless the Lord. Amen. 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 Is this water for me up here? In this ice? Praise God. Amen. So I'm going to just let y'all know, since we family, you know what I'm saying? I struggle. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be pulling out my chapstick. You know what I'm saying? My mouth dries out. I'm going to be popping mints, and I'm going to be sucking on the water. Praise the Lord. We family, so it's cool. All right, so if you don't know, Gideon International is an organization of born-again Christian businessmen and businessmen retirees as well. Praise God, I'm one of them. Who, by God's sovereign grace, are all a part of different local bodies. So we're an extension of the church. We freely donate Bibles to prisons, jails, hospitals, clinics, hotels, motels. I'm sure all of y'all have been in a hotel and pulled out a drawer and you saw that glorious hallelujah Bible right there. Amen. That was our members globally. Praise the Lord. And our whole objective is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ globally. The Lord has been gracious to us. Actually, last year, I think it was October, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure my brother, world-renowned Paul over here, will let me know I was in error. But I think it was October, the Lord was merciful to us. We were able to distribute a total of 2.5 billion Bibles in the last 124 years. So I just praise God for that. Amen. Bless the Lord. We have this amazing program, which I had the privilege to be able to share with some of y'all's children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whoever they were related to you. It's called the Gideon Life Book. This is the Gospel of John, 5x5 paperback copy, 95 pages. This is the Gospel of Mark, forgive me. And this is the Gospel of John. Inside of both of these, there are four different commentaries coming from young people. Just like us, when we read the scriptures, we all have questions. Unless you are a genius, then you wouldn't be here, right? So the commentaries inside of these relate to different passages of scripture that young people have read. There's also a scholar who has commentary in here as well. So this is a phenomenal tool for young people to be able to use, because you all know the deal. As this world gets more corrupt and wicked, we are completely almost shut down from being able to distribute scriptural material in schools. So I call these being used by many missionaries, like M-I-N-I, literal missionaries, right? And by God's sovereign grace, these many missionaries since 2010, so it's been 13 years now, they have distributed over 54 million copies of these. Right, praise God, amen. So you know what I'm saying? If you want to get fire up under your young person, give them one of these, see me after church. I got plenty of them. If I need to go home and get it to bring it back, I will. Because we are all about evangelism. Bible is crystal clear, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, right? And make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Nowhere in that scripture does it say adults only, right? Right. So if you are born again, if the Lord Jesus Christ has regenerated you, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, which says, and ye have he quickened, which means made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, then it's time for us to do what God has called. The main passage of scripture, I talked to your pastor. Let me boast on your pastor real quick. You know what I'm saying? The Bible tells us clearly, let he who boasts, boast in the Lord. So I'm boasting in what the Lord has done through your pastor. All right. So whenever I am invited to a church, I don't take it lightly. So I immediately go to the website of the church. I go to the website because I check to see, like, what type of things the church is doing missionally, whether it's local or global, prayer requests that they might have, because some churches post prayer requests for things that they are engaging in. And I look at the belief system as well. And then I go to the sermon section. So since Pastor told me, like, I have full service, which isn't, like, normal, a lot of times when Gideons that are qualified to speak go to different churches, they're usually given, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes, something like that. And so, you know, Pastor, I call him Pastor D, you know what I'm saying, Pastor Dale. So Pastor Dale, he was like, you know, just take your time, do your thing. He told me I had like 40, 50 minutes. I can't remember exactly. But what I do is I go through the sermons and I look and see the length of the sermons, and I never go past how far the pastor preaches. That's just what I do, right? So the first one I clicked on, it was 3 minutes long. I was like, what in the world is this? I can't do no Gideon presentation 3 minutes. I mean, you know, if I needed to, I'd do it. But that I guess that was just, I didn't even listen to it because I was like, Lord, this can't be happening. And so I clicked on other ones, and I found out he had like some 54 minutes, 53, 48, 46. I was like, whew, bless the Lord. Okay, cool. So I have my handy-dandy timer because I am obedient, praise the Lord, and I will not exceed what he has established on the website. So one of the things that I also saw, which was amazing, is the belief section, right? I firmly believe that if you are moving to a new city or you're looking for a place of worship, first place you should go is to the website, because almost all churches have a website. And the belief system is so important because you need to understand what this body of believers is rooted and grounded in, right? So I was rocked when I saw it. I don't know if Pastor wrote it or one of y'all in here, but it was amazing because it had like 9 different sections. If you ain't never read it, you need to go check that out. It's probably about 25 sermons within that belief system, belief statement of 9 different topics. But it was beautiful because, huh, praise God, amen, my brother get right here. I didn't even know y'all had it like that, but you know what I'm saying? Y'all rich in Christ. I see y'all. So, yeah, y'all need to read it. Some people don't read the bulletins. Praise God, amen. Take some time this week and dig into that thing. But, like, almost every topic of, every topic pertaining to the beliefs of those that go here, there was at least 3 scriptural references. It was so meaty. I mean, going from the Bible as the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God to our God who is one in essence, 3 in persons, same in nature, distinct in their workings. I'm a heavy advocate for Christian rap, been listening to it for maybe like, probably like 40 years because I'm 50, okay? So seeing that, knowing in the Christian rap arena, we call our God the triune package, because that's exactly what you get, right? And so seeing that inside of you all's statement, the bodily resurrection, pre-mill rapture, I was like, look at Pastor D. Beautiful. So I'm so honored to be here, like real talk, all right. May 26, 2021, like the Bible tells us, I think it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. So I'll probably cry while I'm telling you this part, but you know what I'm saying? I'm all man. So you cry with me if you need to. That's cool. I won't forget this as if it happened yesterday. I was riding down the street coming from Meals on Wheels. Everybody familiar with Meals on Wheels in here? All right, cool. So I ain't got to break it down in a few seconds to nobody. If you didn't raise your hand and you don't know, just ask somebody that actually does know. So we're on our way home from Meals on Wheels, myself and my precious princess daughter who just went. She's 7, all right? So she's 5 at this time. We're on our back from Meals on Wheels. The reason why she wasn't in school, you know, this is May 26th, is because due to her birthday, she couldn't start school until she was turning 6. Well, I'm listening to the song that I'm sure you all are familiar with. Jesus paid it all. Sing with me. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. So I'm singing that because I'm trying to get it to run last around my brain because I'm a part of the praise and worship team and I'm preparing for praise and worship practice, right? So we're riding down the street. My daughter's in the back seat. And so she's in her car seat, of course, you know what I'm saying? We abide by the laws. She ain't 80 pounds yet. So she's holding up, you know what I'm saying, the ESV New Testament. And so she's scrolling through it like this, but she's preaching to the back of the seat. So, you know, I peep it out in the rearview mirror. I'm like, all right, Lord, that's what's up. Do your thing. So then she sits it down to the right of her. Then she picks up the Spanish. And I know the only thing she knows is Me Amo Sabrea. Like, my name is Sabrea. That's all she knows, right? But she's scrolling through it like she understands everything she's reading. And she's continuing to preach to the back headrest. And so I'm like, man, what's going on? You know, then she picks up the KJV. And so she's doing the same thing. And I'm on the inside, I'm laughing. I'm going over the song. But I'm really kind of like hyper-focusing on her, right? So she sits all the Bibles around her. So then I'm probably 25 seconds from our crib. Crib is house, if you don't know. All right. So we roll on. All of a sudden, she's like, Dad. She's like, what did Jesus have to pay for if he died for our sins? Why? I almost wrecked because I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was like, girl, that's the best question you ever asked me in your life, you know. So I pull over in front of the house. Context, I've always discipled our daughters. We have a 17-year-old and we have a 7-year-old now. By the grace of God, the Lord has drawn our 17-year-old to himself when she was 4 years old. Completely understood scripture only by the grace of God, right? So it wasn't that she was like ignorant of the gospel. because my role, according to scripture, specifically as the head of the house, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, is to lead, is to disciple my children. Multiple scriptures tell us to do that as fathers. And when we drop the ball, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for that. Enough of that. So, as I pull over, I begin to give her the gospel again. Sometimes as a father, when you share the gospel with your children and they don't seem receptive, like, you know what I'm saying, it could kind of cause you to feel like, hey, why aren't you getting it? This is simple, you know what I'm saying? But it's all about God's timing. We're called to make his name known. God builds his church. So I take her to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, right, which is the command of God to man. Then I take her to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, which is the collapse of man. Then I took her to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, which talks about the consequences of man, but the covenant of Christ. All of a sudden, I hear like sniffing. Man's water's good, thank you. And so I was like, man, this May, what is that? I know she ain't cold. So I turn around, tears profusely running down her face. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, so proud papa. I grab my phone real quick, discreetly hold it down on the side so I can record it, because I think this is about to be a regenerative moment of the Holy Spirit, all right? I don't know, I just think it is. So I'm recording, so I continue to talk to her. I talked to her for maybe about a minute and a half more, and I was like, do you understand, baby? And she was like, yes, sir. I was like, okay, praise God. I was like, all right, let's get out the car. So we get out the car, and so she's still crying. I mean, crying like when all of us probably have had an experience with the Lord and we could not stop weeping, that type of crying. So we're on our way up the driveway. As we're going up the driveway, she's still crying. So by this time, it's probably 4 minutes straight she's been crying. So I was like, Brea, her nickname is Brea. Her first name is Sabrea. I was like, Brea? I was like, do you understand why you're crying? She's like, no, sir, no, sir. And then my mom, like, as long as you've been crying, I don't know neither. You know what I'm saying? But I told her, I was like, look, when the Holy Spirit does a work in every individual, the response is different. I don't know, but we're just going to keep praying, right? So we continue up the stairs. She's crying. I mean, up the driveway. We get into the house. And for any of you, are any of you veterans, Army specifically? I love you, brother. I love you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to bless you after it's over. Okay, so you'll understand what I'm about to say. So as I get in there, like, she's crying. You know what I'm saying? I'm being sensitive, considerate, praying. So I'm rubbing her back. But I'm also holding the camera, you know what I'm saying? Because I want my wife to be able to experience this with us later. And so I'm like, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. And so she's continuing to cry. And then I start getting muscle failure, right? You know what muscle failure is, right? So my arm becomes extremely weak. So I'm recording like this because I'm like, Lord, should I ask her now or what? You know what I'm saying? I've been sharing the gospel for ages, but I'm just trying to be sensitive to whatever the Spirit of God is doing at this moment. So I finally asked her, I was like, Sabrina, I was like, do you want to be on the Lord's side today? And she was like, yes, sir. And so I was like, you know what you got to do, right? I was like, you need to confess. And so, you know, so she, like, gets her face right. And so she was like, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me forever. Just like that. And I was like, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Oh, so I dropped the phone, you know what I'm saying? So I'm hugging her and stuff. And so we go in the bathroom for a pre-baptismal wash because I'm crying. And we're washing our face with soap and water, you know what I'm saying? So I called my pastor. Well, I called my wife first, of course. Sent her the video. Then I called my pastor. I was like, Pastor. I was like, Sabrina just gave her life to Christ. So we celebrating on the phone, excited and stuff. And so I was like, so what's up? You know what I'm saying? When can we baptize her? We had just moved into another building, and I hadn't been privy to the fact that the baptismal pool was inoperable. And so he's like, he's like, it could be a while. And I was like, what? So I was thinking to call some of my buddies in ministry, you know what I'm saying, so I could get my daughter baptized. But, you know what I'm saying, I'm patient. So I was like, it's cool, we'll work it out. So the next week, we go back to Meals on Wheels, all right? So, you know what I'm saying, now my daughter's regenerate, praise God, I'm trying to follow Joshua. As me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So if you don't know, when Gideon Bibles come inside of a box, they come inside of like a paper wrapping in a stack of five, all right? We go to Meals on Wheels. We go to the next distribution place. And so when I get out the car, I get my wheeled cart. I put the boxes that are full of food onto the cart. I look over at my daughter, and she has a stack of Gideon Bibles in her hand. And I was like, Lord, that's what's up. I'm all happy and stuff. But I don't say nothing. I just say, you know what I'm saying, do your thing. So I push the cart. We get to the first house. knock on the door, and this is what I usually do. Usually when somebody opens, I'm like, hey, how you doing today? What's your name? Are you a born-again Christian? The conversation could go great, or they could slam the door in my face. But that's between them and the Lord, right? So that's what I'm accustomed to. So I go to the door, I knock on the door, she's standing here, you know what I'm saying, with soul food. I'm standing here with food for their subsistence. The person opens up the door. Sabrea was like, excuse me, good morning, we're born-again Christians. How about you? I said, do it, Jesus, do it, Lord, hallelujah. So I start crying again, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a man, that's what we do. And I get myself together, so we go in and fellowship with the person because they actually were born again. Yeah, it was beautiful, amen. So to know that the Lord uses his scripture in spite of us. I wasn't like, hey, pull out all them Bibles that's in the back seat and start reading them. That wasn't what I said to her. I require, but they love to read regularly throughout the week because we do daddy-daughter discipleship. So we spend time in scripture together. We do line-by-line exposition, and that works for our family. But this particular day, the Lord used his word and hearing that song and trying to get clarity on what the Lord's work happened when he was on the cross to draw her to himself. So I honor God for being in this organization where word does work in spite of us. So many people feel like, well, I don't have the time in my schedule, or it seems like you all do too much. The reality is, family, when you surrender your schedule to the Lord will work that thing beyond your understanding and make time for you to be a part of organizations that do what he has called all his children to do, which is spread the gospel. Some of us, as Gideons, have had the privilege to be able to travel globally and do handoff distribution. Some of us have done that locally. I never forget the first time I actually did a local distribution. I was at Durham Rescue Mission. And like the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, it's crazy, I can't remember at this very moment, but it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Thank you, Lord. But he that winneth souls is wise, right? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. So distributing at places like Durham Rescue Mission give you a chance to be able to experience something you might not have ever dreamed of, because I'm guessing that everyone in this congregation has more than one Bible in their home. Raise your hand if it's true. Keep it up. 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at all this word in y'all's house. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so sadly, some of the people that we serve in the community, they don't have the same testimony as us, right? So the first time I ever experienced this, like, I'm super serious about discipline, reverence, and respect to adults from children. I experienced something that was very disrespectful, but by the grace of God, the Lord made it clear to me, in all things give thanks, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're standing there doing the distribution, and so this kid comes by, and I was like, praise God. And like, before I even got to offer, this kid was like, give me that, like that, and just took the Bible and like ran. And I was like, that's your word, Lord. What am I doing? I'm getting upset. You know what I'm saying? If you want a child to snatch anything from you, it should be a Bible, right? Praise God. So I wasn't tripping. On the inside, I was wrestling, but I freed myself, and I said, Lord, let your word do work on that individual that has that Bible, right? Back in 2006, excuse me, I was in Balad, Iraq. As I said, I was in the Army, deployed maybe about 5 different places. A lot of surgeries, you know what I'm saying? But you can't tell unless I was in my birthday suit, that ain't gonna happen. So this particular day, I was standing inside of a motor pool. For those of you that don't know what a motor pool is, it's just a massive garage, and it's full of like military vehicles, right? Even if it was on the Air Force side, military helicopters, things like that. Well, this particular day, I was standing up against, these were like our old digitized scriptures. I was leaning up against a pole, and I was reading the word, waiting for my Humvee to get fixed. There was a staff sergeant who was the motor pool sergeant. That means he was in charge of everything. And there was talks of him feeling as if he was going to lose his life before he got an opportunity to be able to see his brand new baby, because his wife was 8 months pregnant. Well, As I was leaning up against the wall, he walked over to me. He was like, hey, Sergeant Person. He was like, what's the Bible say about death? And I was like, a lot, bro. I was like, you really want to know, though? He was like, yeah. I was like, cool, praise God. So I was like, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So I had an opportunity to be able to unpack why it is that all of us will be judged, but why none of us can pay for our judgment. Over time, talking to this dude, the Lord shattered his stony heart, and he asked, what can I do to be saved right there on the spot in the motor pool? And so I was like, praise God, you know what I'm saying? So I took him to the Word, gave his life to the Lord, and I had the privilege to give him his first Bible. So, you know what I'm saying, in the Army, you know, we're supposed to be professional, you know what I'm saying? Man, forget that, this dude's saved now. So I was going crazy, and man, I didn't care who was. I was like, bro, you bored again now, bro? We spent eternity together, so we all happy and excited. So I was like, listen, man, I was like, I'm going to give you advice, because sometimes when you deploy with individuals, you're not promised to be with them the whole deployment. It could be a short period of time. One of you, you know what I'm saying, could your life come to an end, blah, blah, blah. So I told him three things. I was like, listen, man, I was like, one, I was like, you need to pray daily. I was like, two, you need to read consistently. Three, you need to ask the Lord to help free you from this anxiety that you are facing, because it is smothering you right now. Because if everybody was talking about it, that means it was getting around. I'll tell you about the goodness of God. Within days of this dude giving his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, sent a non-commissioned officer, which is just a soldier in charge, over to Iraq to rotate this brother back to the crib so he could be there for the delivery of his firstborn child. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. He went home as a new man with a new life to see a new baby. Amen. So, some of you, might share the gospel. Some of you might not share the gospel. The reason why I gave Pastor Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is because we all are supposed to share the gospel. Jesus was crystal clear. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I had an encounter yesterday during a VBS with some students between ages 9 and 14. I had about 15 minutes with them. We had a specific topic of conversation we were supposed to have with them pertaining to identity, all right? And you all know, talking about identity, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we was real close to it up there earlier, right? And you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. So as I'm talking to these young people, all these young people profess to be saved. So I'm excited, of course. I asked this 12-year-old, I was like, hey, man. I was like, when did the Lord regenerate you? He knew what I meant. And so he was like, oh, man. He was like, my whole life, like, since I was born. And so I was like, okay. I was like, well, let me tell you what the word says, you know. Because I could have been wrong and be like, what? You know what I'm saying? I didn't do that. I was like, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 5, right, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we're all born sinners, right? Due to the fall of man and sin being accounted to all of us. I was like, but when we are born again, then we become new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So I'm going to ask you again, my brother, when did you get saved, right? So, you know, because you have to help anybody. If you don't take advantage of the opportunity to help navigate somebody when their theology is off track, you missed out on the opportunity. If the Lord promised us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to the believer. To receive what he's done in the body, whether good or bad. We, as believers, we are sealed by his spirit. We're going to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. We are going to be evaluated for our activity while we are here on this earth and be rewarded for our activity. So I shift gears, dealt with this young man. Bless the Lord. He got clarity. And then he was able to give me the proper answer. So then I shifted to the young people, and I said, let me ask you a question. How many of you all have shared the gospel since you've been saved? Because all of them have been saved for a little while. Two of them raised their hand. Family, I almost broke down in tears. I almost broke down in tears because the word is crystal clear for what we're supposed to do after we are saved. And sadly, sometimes we don't have examples from our parents, from our grandparents, from our aunts, from our uncles of what we're supposed to do. I'm gonna give you my testimony real quick. I was 3 years old and I was standing on my bed. I was looking in the ceiling. I have no idea why, right? My mother walks in, my mother's 21, and she was like, son, what are you doing? And I was like, mom, let's go to church today. I ain't never heard no Billy Graham. I ain't never heard nothing about the Lord, never listened to Christian music, no reference to spiritual matters. But I was like, mom, let's go to church today. So she was like, what? I'm gonna tell you why she tripped out so much a little bit later. So we get dressed, go to this church. Everything that came across the pulpit, I completely understood it. I didn't know the verses now, but I mean then, but I know them now. But I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, as I said earlier. Christ died so that I could live. Christ died to give me life and that more abundantly. As the word kept coming, I'm soaking it in like a sponge. When a sermon ends, I turn to my mom turns to me, both of us tears profusely, like our daughter, crying, and we both said at the same time, I want to be saved. So, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know back then you could be anywhere, give your life to the Lord. So we go to the pulpit, some dude prays for us, the Lord draws us, saves us. Somebody started discipling my mother. My mother began to disciple me with devotions 4 days out of the week. Move on to 4 years old. I'm standing outside raking leaves. My dad was serious about starting me early doing work. You know what I'm saying? So I'm raking leaves at 4 years old. My buddies is walking by. I'm like, yo, come over to my house before we go to school so we can learn about Jesus. We in preschool, all right? So they like, okay, cool. Start coming. My mother has, within a year, like 7 kids in the living room, giving them the gospel every day of the week almost. Move to 5 years old. My mom was like, son, I forgot to tell you something. I was like, what's up, mom? She was like, you remember when you was 3 and you asked us to go to church? I was like, yes, ma'am. She was like, you're not going to believe this. She was like, but the day before you asked me, she was like, I was at work, and some lady walked up to me and was like, Audrey, that's my mom's name. She was like, Audrey, I would love to take you and your family to church. You know what I'm saying? My mom trying to be a smart aleck. You know what I'm saying? She was like, I would never go to church unless my son asked me. It's crazy, right? Y'all get it when you go home. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. That's what he does. He does work for his purposes, for his pleasure, in spite of what you know. But this is a great way to help people know. Family, I was in the Army before I ever knew anything about Gideon International. I was in Doha, Qatar. I was in a basketball tournament. I know some of y'all are like, how are you playing basketball? You're on deployment. I was just in a peaceful area. I couldn't believe myself. I was like, I can't be in the Army over here. I'm shooting hoops. But by the grace of God, it was cool. So anyway, I was there for a year. Put together a team called God Squad. So we played basketball. All of us was born again. So we was playing against the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else by verbal remembrance. I don't know if they was all born again. I don't know if they was all dead in their sins. But by their verbals, they appeared to not know the Lord, right? I didn't know. We won all the games, family. We played like 17 games. We won all the games. And I can't front, you know what I'm saying? The Lord was merciful and gracious to us. But they was booing us every game we played. You know what I'm saying? We crossing over, pulling up. Faith without works is dead. Get off me. You know what I'm saying? We scoring. They booing. So we were given an opportunity to be able to actually start a Bible study by our chaplain. Chaplain walks up to me and my dude, Steve, and he was like, hey, he was like, I want you all to lead a Bible study. And I was like, wow, what a privilege. I was like, you sure? He was like, yeah, y'all got it. So they had these air-conditioned tents right by the basketball court. So my boy, Steve, he's an aggressive Christian. I ain't an aggressive Christian. I'm aggressive one-on-one, but not like, you know what I'm saying, a big scope. That's because you surrender to what the Lord could do if you just say, whatever you need me to do, if you need me to read, study, pray, memorize, meditate, I'm down. My dude Steve ain't like that. So my dude Steve grabs the microphone from the referee and walks away from the referee. And he was like, we about to have Bible study every Thursday in this tent. Everybody need Jesus. Y'all need to come. Drop the microphone. I was like, oh, Lord, this is going to be crazy. So I was kind of nervous, you know what I'm saying? I was like, bro, ain't nobody going to come. He was like, man, shut up, man. You better have faith. So the first time we have Bible study, It was standing room only, family. It was blazing out there, like 115 degrees, like real talk, where we were at in the, on that place in the world. But there was like light air conditioning in there. So the chaplain walks in before we get started. He hands me a box. He was like, hey, at the time I was a specialist, I think. He was like, hey, specialist person, pass these out. I was like, cool. So I'm thinking it's like Bible study books. Man, I opened that mug up. It was the Gideon Bibles. I ain't know nothing about the Gideon Bible. When I saw it, I was like, is this a sign for like a translation or a version? What, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know there was KJV and ESV until I start reading it. But I was like, wow, we got Bibles out here. So we pass them out to all the people, you know what I'm saying? Me and Steve, we do our thing, give them the gospel. The Lord allows us to be able to pray with some cats. Cats are people, all right. And so some of them surrender to the Lord. Then they start coming back. The way they scheduled our games, we never had a game on Thursday. That's crazy, y'all. That's a reason to rejoice. We got a chance to never be interrupted in our chance to share the gospel. Some people weren't going to their games. They was coming to hear the goodness of God in the tent. And we had a chance to give them Gideon Bibles. The only reason why that happened is because of the faithful givings of some of you or some people across the globe who knew about it when I didn't know about it. So the beauty of this story for the finale is we had a church service inside of a building. Inside of the building, our chaplain came and the Air Force got with us and they built us a baptismal pool. They built this baptismal pool and so many of the basketball players literally come up and want to be baptized and they say, I want to be baptized with this in my cargo pocket. So they take the word that transformed their life, put it in their pocket, and are ready to go down in the water with. I was like, don't sweat it. We got other Bibles. Don't even worry about it. Praise God. So they surrendered their life to the Lord, grateful that they had the closest thing that they knew to the Lord Jesus on their person, and they became a new creature. So family, there's four different ways that you could assist in supporting this organization to continue to do what the Lord has called us to do. First and foremost is pray. Easiest scripture in the Bible outside of Jesus wept. I know y'all know where it's at. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to tell you. Is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. We have seen the Lord do some mind-blowing things by his grace for his glory without our hands, meaning opening up doors, allowing us to be able to position in certain places all across the globe. The Lord has blessed us to be able to have Gideons and auxiliary members in all seven continents. Please forgive me, I did not say this earlier. The auxiliary members are our born-again Christian wives who support in this organization by way of prayer, distribution, administration, excuse me, and prayer, administration, distribution, I'm so sorry, I can't remember the last one. But, you know what I'm saying, they are by our side. The reason why I love the organization more than anything is because I get to do work behind the scenes with my wife pertaining to this organization. Whether that be scripture distribution, whether it be praying for someone, whether it be telling them about the goodness of God in this scripturally saturated organization. So, there are bulletins that are outside of the doors, and inside of these bulletins, there is a perforated piece of paper is real small. You can become a friend of the Gideon and you are just a prayer partner. How many of you in here know that you can pray more? I know, I see all y'all, I ain't even gotta look, praise God. So because all of us can pray more, what you are committing to is becoming a prayer partner with us. Anytime you seek the face of God, our desire is that you think about Gideon's International. Although the Lord has blessed us with 150,000 men and 90,000 women, Hebrews 9:27 pertains to us as well. It's appointed unto man once to die, which means the Lord is calling many Gideons and auxiliary members home, meaning we need some more members. My prayer is that you would consider thinking about it and talk to this precious woman of God over here, Renee, this mighty warrior of God, Paul, or myself after service. But I want you to pray about it, family, because it's a calling. It's not just joining a regular organization. You are committing to do what Scripture calls us to do with the time that the Lord makes in your schedule for you to be able to do that. There are occupational qualifications. There are also spiritual qualifications. But if you're a born-again believer, you would meet the spiritual qualifications. You should. I'm just going to name a few of them. Do you stand firm in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that God ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman? Easy. According to John chapter 3, 16, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? According to Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, do you believe in the eternal lake of fire for all unbelievers? Do you believe that Pastor D would approve of you being a part of this organization based off of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, which says that he has to give an account for your soul, right? He has to do that before the Lord. But would he actually recommend you because you don't give him grief, but you give him grace and you give him joy, right? Amen. One of the others is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 to 3:16. Forgive me if I jack it up. But do you believe that the Word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word? When you meet these spiritual qualifications, you can't be a clergy member, because we understand that pastors have the hardest job in the planet, more than any president, any man in high position, because of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, right? So we would never ask a pastor. But I'm asking you all to pray and ask the Lord, is this his desire for your life? Because we need members, family. We need to see the Lord's work done. And I don't regret sounding like I'm begging. What I'm saying is, I would love for you to experience, if you are not following the Word, an opportunity to be able to. When we go to the hotels, we get a chance to be able to engage people individually. We get to be able to engage people in leadership. And when we hit the streets, like with my daughter, every time I ride down the street to an intersection, my daughter sees a panhandler on the side of the road. You know what she says? Daddy, daddy, there's somebody. Please give him a Bible. Can we give him some water? I didn't tell her to say that, right? But that's how much of an impact the Word of God has had on her, because she knows it is life, and that more abundantly. I do break the law. I can't front. If this is recorded, I'm busted. But I allow her to take her seatbelt off at a red light, come over on this side of the car, roll down the window, and hand a Bible to somebody on the street. I don't know what the end result is going to be, but I know I'm obeying the Word of God, which is giving people the gospel found in these pages of Scripture. Second way is by way of donation. Inside of the bulletin back there, it gives you an opportunity. It's self-explanatory. You can donate whatever you desire. Pray about it again. Or you can go online. You can go online to sendtheword.org. Sendtheword.org. Or gideons.org, if you forget that. A third way is by way of the Gideon Carr Bible Program. The Lord has graced us to be able to have in recognition cards, Christmas cards. You ain't got to go to Walmart no more. You ain't got to go to Hallmark. You ain't got to go to Kmart. You ain't even got to go online. You can go to the display that is here at this church. The cards don't cost anything. But inside the cards, there is a scripture and an opportunity for you to be able to purchase Bibles for somebody globally that needs it. We all rose our hands when we said we have multiple Bibles in our cribs. These are going globally to people who have pages of scripture and they have a family of 10 and they're sharing them. So I encourage you, family, consider those the least of them, as Jesus talked about. And finally, if you believe pastor would approve of you, as I said, the Bible is clear. If you have an ought with your brother, go to them in love. You know what I'm saying? Get that thing together, because we want you to come freely of any issues. Praise the Lord. And we'll talk to you, give you opportunity to fill out the application, and we'll just see what the Lord has in store. Family, it's such a privilege and an honor to be here. My brother from another mother, I thank you so much for trusting me, you know what I'm saying? I see you ain't throwing the rocks at me, so I must not have jacked up too bad. I love you all. I thank God for you all. I appreciate the work that this church is doing in the community. And again, tell Pastor Dale I love him, thank him. He is a warrior in the Word. And please don't leave this church, because you are in a wealthy place spiritually. And I don't say that to everybody. You are in a wealthy place spiritually. God bless you and thank you.